Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilow, and with me, as always...
It's console launch exclusive, Ben Vanell here, Tommy. And we're joined, as always...
by the world premiere of Adam Knox. Here I am. I'm ready to be revealed. I've only got like a pretty vague and non-explanatory CGI trailer of myself at this point.
Sure.
I'm not going to give you many details about what the fuck I actually am or when I'm going to show up or really any information about me. But I've got like a brief FMV trailer to show that I exist.
I want to see Adam Knox gameplay. Where's the Adam Knox gameplay we were promised?
I think I'm going to look a lot worse than you expected me to. And yeah. Unfortunately, but I'm open world now, so you can go in the other direction if you want to.
Look, doesn't really matter to me. As long as I'm sitting up at 2:30 a.m. to watch this, I don't care what I'm being presented with.
I think doing all that Twitch stream, we did a stream and watched the Xbox showcase the other night, which you can go watch on YouTube if you want. But I think doing that has sucked up all my internet, because I'll tell you right now, both of you boys are slightly laggy for me. So if I sound like I'm not keeping up, it's only because of technological problems, not because I'm blown away by the thoughts that these two are putting forward and I don't know how to respond. It's purely a technical issue.
Ben, let's just put forward the most mild takes so that Adam just sounds completely, constantly shocked by the incredibly tepid things that we're saying.
I don't know what to do with that idea. That's such a good idea. I don't know how to follow up with that.
Or we should just pretend that our sentences are ending a few seconds before.
Yeah, shit. I'm in trouble now.
You gotta have fun with it.
Yeah.
You gotta
yeah.
turn the technical limitations right. into a strength and just have a bit of fun with it.
That's
if
it.
I would have been yeah. if you had have dropped out then though, I would have thought that it was part of your joke that you did there. And it would have you know when like those people die on stage of a heart attack and no one knows, they think they're just acting
yes.
really well.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how yes. I hope to go out. By
who was
running
that guy?
Onto a stage of a show that I'm not in. There's been heaps of them. There was a comedian
right.
who it happened to like this year.
Yeah.
Oh, really? But,
quite recently, yeah.
Yeah, I think Tommy Cooper is the famous one.
Yes.
He was a British comedian yep. who it happened to in like the 80s, maybe?
I think so, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where he used to wear a fez all the time.
Yeah, and he just like sort of doubled over initially, I think, and people were like, what's going yeah. on here?
Well,
and
apparently he had a bit that he would do regularly where he pretended to have a heart attack. I'm pretty sure this is that
oh,
dude.
God.
So it came and bit him right in the heart.
Yeah. The bit is like, do not resuscitate. Yeah. Whatever I say, don't check if I'm okay. This will never come back to bite me on the ass. Fuck
I've got
you,
the
God.
Funniest bit. Everyone knows that I'm the comedian who pretends that he's not allergic to penicillin. It's the funniest bit, and it's never going to come back to haunt me.
Do you think it would be possible to have a Twitch streamer... pass away midstream and have people not realize?
Ooh.
So it could be someone who exclusively plays sort of LucasArts style adventure games, but he's notoriously really bad at solving the puzzles. Just never has any idea what the fuck he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So he carks it midstream and people are just watching him, just the screen's paused, but they're used to this. This happens all the time.
This one's like, really stumped him.
This puzzle's taking him. This but one's really stumped him.
Yeah. So he's not only bad at the puzzles, but his way to try and solve them is to remain motionless until he could just think of
stare at the screen while the cogs turn. Yeah, yeah.
There are people who stream themselves sleeping because we've all been looking at Twitch a bit more because we, you know, are doing some things on there now. Twitch.tv/filthycasualspod and we're going to do personal things there as well. Not personal as in, you know, private, but our own channels that we'll do as well.
You can watch
in
me
the coming
sleep.
Months.
I might though.
Huh? You might get personal.
I don't really want people to watch me play. I don't want people to like observe how bad I am at most games. So I'd probably rather get on there and just like read my PIN number out if I had to choose.
Sure.
Read out your old diary.
Oof.
Yeah.
I'd pay to watch that, but Twitch is free, so don't do it there. But there are people who stream themselves just working out or sleeping, and I mean, we probably sound like, you know, octogenarians or whatever at this point because people are surely already across the fact that this is done there. But yeah, it's a strange fucking world that we live in these days.
Streaming yourself sleeping is psycho.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
What is who? How is that? Why?
But they get donations and shit during it. It's for horny men who are watching this woman sleep, is my impression of it.
Oh, right. Man. That side of Twitch. Okay.
Yeah.
Makes a lot more sense.
The front side, the main side. It is if you could imagine a coin that looks sort of like a telescope because one side is way bigger than the other. That the horny side of Twitch is the side facing Mars, and then the small side of Twitch is the one we're gonna occupy. Where people are showing up for poorly delivered jokes.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk a little later in the episode about our thoughts on the Microsoft conference for people who didn't tune in and watch it live and haven't caught up with that yet. But first of all, we've got a few other things to cover. We talked last week about...
The way that you said that.
I'm trying to be professional.
I know, but the way
I'm trying to present.
It sounded like you were going to, like you're about to get into an argument. Like, yeah, we'll get into that later. But first of all, I have some shit I want to say. All right?
Yeah. I got some stuff I need to get off my chest before we can calm
Well,
down.
I do now. Ben, you were saying you've been sinking a lot more time this week into Ghost of Tsushima after we talked about it. Quite thoroughly last week. You've been playing a lot more of it. I've played maybe like half an hour. I don't know how much more you've played, Nox.
Yeah, I've played a few more hours of it for sure.
Yeah, I guess I probably had put in 6 or 7 hours, maybe 8 hours for last week's show. I hadn't even come close to finishing, I think, Act 1. Now I'm about halfway through Act 2, but I've liberated the South Island, the first of three. I've done literally everything you can do. I've like cleared every camp. I've got every fox den. I've been playing fuckloads of it. And yet, I don't think you could say that my opinion has really changed on it. Like, I still have all of those criticisms that we discussed in depth and at length last week. But it's really a comfort game. You know, it is what Assassin's Creed was for me. And maybe I'm liking this because of that weird nostalgia connection. And I did love Shadow of Mordor. I think the first one that was a little more compact in scope. I really do like those games and I liked them a lot 10 years ago. So I don't know if
Mad Max
is a big,
as well.
Yeah, Mad Max, which was 5 years ago. Almost like exactly. I think it came out September 2015. A bit before Fury Road. But yeah, there's something about this game...
After.
Oh, yeah, right. Maybe it was overshadowed by the movie. But there's something about this format that is really getting me. It's like eating a big cake on the couch when it's raining and you're depressed, you know? Like, it's just really hitting the spot maybe for the stage of lockdown I'm in. But we've also seen a lot of people talking about it, a lot of reaction to our critiques of it. What do you have your guys' thoughts on this game changed in the last 7 days?
I was at the point that you're at as of last week when we talked about it last week. I'd just gotten into Act 2.
Right.
Or done like a few missions there and then had done. And I'm sort of at the same, but with Act 3 now.
Mm.
And have, yeah, done both of those sections of the island and all that shit. And yeah, I think exactly the same thing still, that it is an absolute Skinner box that is designed to make you feel good in a way that it's not manipulative, but it's not substantial. Mm-hmm. It is the aspects of it that even I enjoy, like the combat. I don't like switching between those different stances because they're kind of meaningless to me. But you have one choice of which stance to do for each enemy, so it almost invalidates it being there, if that makes sense. Because if you can see that one person is scissors, then you have to change to rock.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, there's not any, it's almost like false depth or options there. And yeah, lots of the design aspects of it, same as last week, and same as people will still probably disagree with, I think, aren't very good. But it is effective at being satisfying in that very cheeseburgery kind of, I've gotten a big tick on the piece of paper here for following through with what the game asked of me, which was a dull task if you look at it too closely, and it wasn't backed up by, for me, any interesting dialogue or, you know, story or anything like that. But you know, it looks nice, and it is giving you constant feedback, rewarding feedback. And I think that makes sense. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying that as well, I should point out. Like, if I weren't deliberately critiquing it for the purposes of this show, I probably wouldn't give it a second thought, all of those things, because it is enough to make me feel good to play it. In the same way that I understand people not liking Last of Us 2 because it's kind of designed to make you feel bad at points.
Yeah.
Ghost of Tsushima, its only point is to make you feel good all the time. And rarely does the design being uninteresting in like a front brain way matter to that. Rarely does that impact how much actual enjoyment you're having with it at any point.
Yeah, we ended up talking about it a fair bit this week in our Patreon Facebook group, because I think a lot of people, first of all, most people are enjoying it quite a lot, we found out. And I think a lot of people assumed that we all hated it, which is probably fair given that we spent 45 minutes almost exclusively discussing the negatives. But that's just kind of what you're going to gravitate to when you're like reviewing or critiquing something.
That is
but
also
we all
what
think
I'm doing.
It's good. That's the thing. None of us think it's like bad. We all think it's like a good game.
I think
discussing everything.
I think to a lot of people, it came across like we were slamming it.
Yeah.
Discussing everything, focusing on the negatives as well, is something I'm doing with literally every aspect of the world and my life and what I'm doing. Like the state of how things in my mental state are right now. Ghost of Tsushima came out and Simon Cowell was having a bad day, unfortunately.
Sure.
And he said, Susan Boyle, you're fucking ugly as hell, dude. Get the fuck out of here. What the fuck you coming out of here with that? But like, nah, she's singing well. Everyone likes the way she sings. Fuck you. But like, yeah, but yucko. That's a little how I feel about it. But also, tell him he's wrong. Tell the man that he's wrong. Don't talk about inner beauty, motherfucker.
I wanted to talk about it again this week because I do like it actually a lot more than I did a week ago. Like, I think I'm one of those people now who's been, you know, chatting with us in our Patreon group who's said, like, I concede that all those criticisms are legitimate. However, I'm really enjoying it. And I think a week ago I was mainly just, you know, focused on the criticisms. I think maybe I'm better at the combat because I am really enjoying like getting a standoff chain of like five guys and looking around as everyone slow motion falls to the ground and being like, yeah, I'm a fucking samurai. Like that stuff is very satisfying and it may be gratuitous, but it still is great, I think.
And it's super easy to do and there's no change between any of the standoffs and it's a really simple mechanic. You know what I mean? Like if you pick apart any part of the game, I think that a lot of the design of it falls apart really quickly because it's all really, really simple and straightforward. It's you know, typical thing of being wide as an ocean, shallow as a puddle type of game. However, it's a beautiful summer's day and you're having a fun little romp through a puddle. Who can be mad at you for that? It's me. Simon Cowell, and I'm here to call you ugly, motherfucker. That's all. That's what I'm about now. Don't point out my weird little boobs I got under the shirt. Yeah, I look weird. I'm an old man. Fuck you. How about you fuck off? I made the Spice Girls. That doesn't count for anything anymore. I put them in the same room together. And yeah, it turns out they all hated each other. But, you know, for a while there, I was top of the world. They called me the sixth spice. Fucking...
Umami.
Nah, I'm Posh Spice 2 is what they call me.
Nah, you're umami. yeah, that I think that does it for Ghost of Tsushima. I think we're all still like a 7.5, 8 out of 10, but a little more positive this week, I reckon.
I'm the same.
Yeah, great.
But it was always, like I said last week, it's an enjoyable thing and it's fun. But, you know, when your job is to... fill a word count on an essay about it. You got to fucking, there's shit wrong with it. And I reckon they could maybe fix it up for a second one and that'd be cool.
Yes.
Yeah. Big bit of news from the week. On some corners of the internet was a huge Nintendo leak, not of any unreleased games or anything like that. This was all based around source code from old games. Mm. And I don't quite follow exactly how this stuff works, but they basically, this then relies on people kind of going away and like patching it together to actually get the assets up and running in like a ROM or something like that. Is that kind of how it works? It's like,
it's code.
How does this kind of stuff?
It's code for stuff. So if you run it through the programs that it is designed to be interpreted by, then you can see what it is. Is pretty much, I believe, how it works. But it's literally the source code. It is the stuff that Nintendo wrote to make these games. It is early beta versions of shit like Yoshi's Island, the Mario 64, and I think Ocarina of Time, and a fuckload of other games, a bunch of Pokemon games.
Yep.
There's also like
stuff
big,
that kind of is...
There's big packages of like unreleased kind of marketing renders and... things like that. Like a lot of shit that was made during the production of heaps and heaps of their games from the SNES and the 64 that was never intended to be viewed by the public because it was all, you know, shit that you make while you're making something. And a lot of it was thrown away and likely for good reason.
Yep. So the main ones are the people were pretty excited about. There's a model for Luigi in Mario 64. There was a cancelled Pokemon MMO at some point. Early maps in the Ocarina of Time, a prototype of Yoshi's Island that's kind of just very rough but still looks pretty similar to how Yoshi's Island ended up looking.
It was there.
And then a game called...
Well, that prototype of Yoshi's Island as well was like originally a Donkey Kong thing. And they have the guy who shot the mosquito spray from Donkey Kong 3, that he was going to be the main character, it looks like.
Yeah. This is a separate thing. So there's a prototype Yoshi's Island, and then there's a game called Super Donkey. That, yeah, is looks like its own weird, fully-fledged thing that, yeah, it kind of looks like it's ended up turning into Yoshi's Island, but it... Yeah, it sort of looks like it was potentially its own standalone thing.
I think it was, yeah, that early on, that Yoshi's Island, what became Yoshi's Island, started off as Super Donkey, and then they called it Super Mario 5, and it turned into Donkey's Island. There was, like, other characters that were going to be in Star Fox. There's all, like, uncompressed lines from the original recordings of those old maps from Ocarina of Time and shit. You know, it's all... it's a lot more exciting in concept than I think it is to view it, because when you look at all this stuff, you're like, yeah, well, of course they made a bunch of shit when they were trying out stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't think any of it is, like, of course they made a little fucking Luigi. They probably made a heap of other shit that isn't in here. Oh, well, maybe not. Maybe this is all of it. But, you know, that's the nature of
that kind of
stuff
I don't
together.
Find. Yeah, that kind of stuff I don't find particularly. Like, yeah, Luigi was going to be in Mario 64 at one point. Well, yeah, of course that was on the drawing board. But, like, abandoned concepts, like, yeah, the idea of this game called Super Donkey where you play as the weird little... What was he? Little bug catcher or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
from Donkey Kong.
Like, the idea that was on the table at one point. It's like, that's cool.
Yeah, sure. The original Donkey Kong 3, like the arcade one, was it even an arcade game, or was it just one of those little fucking Game & Watches or whatever? You were like spraying mosquitoes in that one. Some guy called, I think, Stanley, and he was originally going to be the dude.
Right. There's also stuff they found of a sprite sheets for a side-scrolling Zelda game on the Super Nintendo, which could have been a follow-on from Zelda 2 on the Nintendo, or it could have been a remake. People are speculating. There's like unused Pokemon models from an old Pokemon game. And then there's like a super fucked up looking original version of Yoshi from Super Mario World.
Yeah.
Who has very weird actual dinosaur proportions and looks hideous.
No chin. He looks like Yoshi shaved during lockdown and regretted it. He's got that kind of a vibe to him. There was also, there's like the original PSD files of Nintendo 64 box art. So the actual fucking Photoshop files that they used to make the box art for Nintendo 64 games is in there, which I think is really cool. That bit.
Yeah, it's kind of a conflicting thing, right? Because like that specifically to me, as someone who has like looked for those templates to make art for this podcast, I'm like, oh, cool, that's a great asset to have. And I'm sure people who can turn code into like working prototypes or ROMs of, you know, the old games or the alternate games or like the pilots almost of these games that didn't get made, that's also cool for them. But for the people who worked on it, it feels very intrusive, apparently. There's a quote here from Dylan Cuthbert, who worked on Star Fox. He says, "Source code represents hours, days, months, and years of hard work and blood, sweat, and tears, and is very personal to every developer. So it feels very intrusive to suddenly have random people on Twitter asking me or others to explain the context of every off-the-cuff comment in the code. At best, it's ridiculous, and at worst, it's insulting." This is like if someone saw your Google Doc notes for like an upcoming comedy festival show, like it would feel
they'd
really
be like
fun.
Why is it empty? There is nothing in here. That's fucking crazy.
Look, that may be the case for us, but like that, you know, it's like it's someone seeing your diary from work or something, like your notes to your emails to your mates and stuff like that. And obviously it's illegal to steal this stuff. It feels very, very strange to me to have it all out there in public.
Interestingly, as well, this
stuff, love hearing about abandoned.
Well, this stuff as well is also illegal to use. So like people, when those first Nintendo 64 leaks happened earlier in the year, people were like, oh, this will help emulation, but it won't, because if they can prove that you took any of this stuff and used it to make your thing rather than doing it yourself and kind of figuring it all out, then you're fucked. So that a lot of people who work on emulators and stuff like that are saying, well, we're not even going to look at any of this shit. We're completely ignoring all of it, because if we get influenced by it, even if we don't directly take it, we could be in a lot of trouble for this. So it's ultimately, it's all kind of useless, and it's fascinating in a historical way, but also, yeah, I think you don't really, as interesting as it is, I agree, you don't have a right to look at a lot of this stuff. I think it's a bit, you know, it's a bit weird.
Like, I love hearing about abandoned ideas and concepts for any kind of art that I enjoy. Like, I have the art book for Super Mario Odyssey, and the best bits of that are, like, these big, beautiful sketches they've done for worlds that they never ended up putting into the game. And so, yeah, on paper, this stuff is kind of interesting, but it means nothing without Nintendo themselves going, like, oh, yeah, we were going to... the idea was to have a game called Super Donkey, and here's all the sketches, and here's what it would have been, and then here's how it eventually... Like, without them sort of giving you the kind of guided tour of what this stuff actually means for the context of what the game actually turned into, it's pretty uninteresting. It's just seeing a sprite of an unused Pokemon, it's like, well, who cares?
Well, and especially when you can assume that the story for all of these things is to like, wow, why did this never end up in there? Is that if you ask the person who was responsible for taking out, they would likely say, oh, because it sucked. This ended up being worse than what we put in there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, of course, it's not in there.
You know where all the good stuff is?
We realized
it's in the game.
We were halfway through making a game where you play as the bug sprayer from an old Game & Watch game about a greenhouse and went, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah. You want to know what happened to the follow-up of that Donkey Kong 3 sequel that no one remembers? I stopped doing coke. That's what happened to it.
Yeah. We realized the cute little dinosaur was probably a better asset to use.
Yeah. Someone came and looked at Yoshi and said, "Why does that thing look so fucking ugly?" It was Simon Cowell, actually. He was really rude about it.
Yeah.
Well, but it is still kind of cool in a historical way. And there's a part of me that thinks, archive everything, have everything accessible. But also, yes, for stuff that was never actually put out to the public, probably leave it alone, hey. And it's all like, it's being done by some random person who they think worked on some Nintendo thing for a period of time and took all these files and is now uploading them slowly to 4chan. And like, you can't get any shadier than the sound of that, right?
Yeah. Distributing it via private Discords and 4chan. And it's not on. Some of the people who've hacked Nintendo have done other awful things. So,
did you know that originally Luigi in Mario 64 had Jennifer Lawrence's tits? Here they are. Like,
exactly.
Well, yeah. Speaking of weird, bizarro versions of Nintendo characters, Nox, you and I have been playing.
Let's talk
Paper Mario,
Waluigi,
the Origami King.
Yeah, Paper Mario Origami King, if people couldn't hear it because I talked over you. Yes, we have. We both have.
Yeah, I've played, I'm up to like, I guess the second world, you'd call it, near the end of like the second area.
The Autumn
and,
Mountain.
Yes. And I am enjoying it. It's very pleasant. It is basically, it's more of an adventure game than an RPG. It is just a aesthetically pleasant and charming game that is not too taxing. I like the battle system. I know that's been a point of contention for a lot of people. It's not like a dense RPG style battle system. It's more like a weird little Rubik's Cube based puzzle that you have to solve for every battle in order to do it effectively and well. But it's fun. It's pleasant. It's a nice time.
Yeah, I think if the battle system was just the puzzle, then I would like it more. But the battles are kind of annoying me at this point. I'm a little further in than you. And so you have sort of a circular grid where all the enemies show up and occupy a little space in it. And then you can rotate the circles. There are four circles deep, and you can either rotate them or you can shift the enemies back and forth on that grid, if that makes sense. So you're shuffling these pieces up to try and get the enemies either in a row or in a little clump so that your attacks can get them better. But by the time you get like two turns or something to shift the enemies, it's generally pretty easy to see how you should do it to have them best lined up. And then once you do, it's not long, but it's an irritating process of going through and pressing attack and jumping on these enemies when you really know that all of them are going to die after this. You know what I mean? So it takes up a fair bit more. And that's the thing I'm finding annoying about this game is that I agree with you. It's really charming and very kind of relaxing. It's well written. It looks really, really good. It's quite funny. But every time one of those battles shows up, I wish they just weren't even in the game. If it was just a straight-up adventure game, this would be more enjoyable than having to do these very, very similar puzzles as well. They do not change up what you're asked to do in them very often.
Yeah.
For some of the bosses, you kind of do a little bit of a different thing. But in the regular day-to-day enemies, you know, you're repeating the same very simple, kind of dull puzzle again and again to then go through this arduous combat that is meaningless even if you do well or poorly. You get to heal and save and all that stuff often enough that even if you fuck it up a million times somehow, you're fine. And if you succeed at it, you get rewarded with nothing. It gives you coins, which you have so many of anyway, that it feels pointless. So I'm not enjoying those bits. And Mario moves really slowly too. So the whole game has been, as nice as it is to read, you know, all the dialogue and stuff is quite well written and enjoyable, and as nice as it is to look at and listen to as well, the music is great too. I'm finding it kind of boring because it is dragging itself out so needlessly in a lot of in the combat especially, but also just in the how long it takes to move through this world for seemingly no reason, and then it keeps getting interrupted by these puzzles in this combat that I just do not find interesting.
Yeah, I don't mind that it's not a fully fledged RPG, which I think, the problem with this franchise is that they made this iteration of it on the GameCube that everyone loved, that it has never been re-released anywhere, and it's, even to buy like a second-hand copy is very expensive. And that's like a very pure RPG. And then every one that they've made since then has had some weird different mechanic to it, rather than just taking that... what people love about that one and expand upon it, they then fuck around and just completely abandon that system, which I think the people that really love this series get very frustrated by. Like, the last two before this one have been pretty much universally panned. So I don't mind that it's not like a full RPG. I just wish there was like a tad more depth to it, like getting some kind of XP or something out of these battles, because I like doing the puzzles. Like, I find that bit of it enjoyable, but... Yeah, you don't really get anything out of doing them other than just, like, you have to do them. And if they varied more in the kind of attacks that you had, or, if you got some experience and you leveled up at the end of them, that just feels very... There's not, like, a great deal of incentive to be doing them.
No, and that's the thing. It's not that it's not an RPG that's the annoying thing. It's that the game that they replaced the RPG combat with is fucking... quite bad. If this was like a mobile game, I wouldn't play it for more than 40 seconds, because you get these very straightforward kind of spatial reasoning puzzles that take 10 seconds to solve, and then you've got triple that time in just fucking selecting hammer, and then I'll press the button at the right time, which is so easy to do that I'll do it every time, and then they'll definitely die, and then there'll be some animation. You got all these other layers on top of it of, like, you can pay money to the toads to get them to come in and help. Maybe if you're finding the puzzle a little difficult, they'll rotate the thing in a little way to help you out, or they'll give you an item. And I like all the toads sitting around. They sit around, like, the combat arena and kind of cheer you on. And, again, visually and the presentation of the game, it's all really thoughtful and nice, and everything... looking like paper and cardboard and all of that. It's done so well. Again, these games have always done that well, so but this especially, it looks great. But just, those puzzles are really irritating.
One of the big things in the game in the non-battle sections is that you're looking for toads that have kind of been folded up and are hidden throughout the world, and you hit them with your hammer and then they appear. And that as a task is, it's kind of fun to look around and find them and find the hidden ones. And that they then, the more of them that you find, then when you do these battles, the arena is kind of filled up with more and more and more of them. And it is kind of satisfying watching that as your progress kind of, at the very start, you have just like two sitting there watching you. And then eventually you've got this like huge crowd of them, which is kind of there's just like a lot of neat little touches to it. But it's a shame that there's not just like a degree more depth to it.
If it was gone.
The thing that's stopping me from really, really loving it.
If that combat was out completely, I think this game would be better for it, because all that those enemies in the world are annoyances on your way to go and find these toads, which I'm also really enjoying. And like there's little collectibles around the world that it messes with the sort of forced perspective of the like kind of 2.5D presentation to hide little bits of the world that you need to go and seek out and things like that I'm finding really nice. And then every time you find... one of the toads, he gives you a fun little thing that he says, and they're always quite funny. It's well written. Walking around these really pretty places that have really, really cleverly designed ways of making this papercraft stuff look like different things, and nice music behind it that's very fun and jaunty and enjoyable, is that aspect of it I'm really liking. It's a very calm, kind of well-paced game, even though I do think Mario moves weirdly slowly, and that's irritating as well. But every single time you go into maybe it's just a puzzle that fits in with my brain well enough that every single one of them is pointless to do. Straight away you see it and you're like, oh yeah, I've got to move this there and that there, easy. You know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah,
it's
I think that's the difference between your brain and my brain, because I'll tell you, I'm fucking up plenty of them.
Right. Well, yeah. So, if you fucked up... the puzzle itself is so simple to me that it is very boring and annoying, and I'm running away from every enemy, trying not to get into combat, because it really feels like a punishment. every single time.
Yeah.
So yeah, that kind of, it's less than half. It's not that much that you have to do of it. You can avoid a lot of it if you want, but it's really a hindrance to my overall impression of this game for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Something that is not in any way relaxing or charming or pleasant is another game that we've both been playing this week, Carrion, which is on, I think it's on everything now, isn't it?
Yeah, Carrion. I think you pronounce that word Carrion, like what a crow eats. Is that
Carrion?
Yeah,
it's not what you take onto the airplane.
No. Well, I take a bunch of... I take viscera and stuff like that onto planes often. Okay. But
I've been playing the video game adaptation of those British movies.
Oh!
Yeah, that's some dark shit. You were right in that intro. That is...
Yeah.
Not pleasant. No. Not pleasant at all. No.
It's a crazy game. You've got a... It's basically a rhythm game, and you've got to say a thing that makes it sound like you're gay every second. Yep. By hitting the buttons. That's basically all that fucking game is. No, yeah, Carrion is like... it's at least on Xbox and Switch. I don't know if it's on PS4, but I played it on Xbox Game Pass.
It's on PC. Too. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's all right. It's like a sort of three-ish kind of hour indie game type of thing. You play as the monster in this one. That's the big twist. Mm. You remember like the last sort of 2 minutes of Inside?
Mm.
What if that was a full game? That's the game.
Okay. That's what Pretty it looked much. Like from the trailer.
Yeah. What did you think of it, Tommy?
I'm loving it. I think it's fucking awesome. It's such a strong commitment to an aesthetic and an idea. It's pretty simple, but it keeps kind of adding in new things to the mix. And it's just, they've had like a really clear idea for the kind of game that they want to do. And then just found all these like really interesting ways of utilizing that concept. I was talking to someone the other day about the video game character Wario, and when he was first introduced, how the press for that first game, I remember reading a thing that was like, this is the game where you play as the bad guy, and being like, whoa, cool, and then getting it and it's like, oh, this is just a platformer where you're, you know, you for some reason you're a bad guy, but other bad guys are trying to kill you.
Yeah, these
but
are
this
even
truly,
worse
this
guys.
Does feel like... But this feels like an actual realization of that concept where you are this fucked, gross monster. Like, people are screaming when they see you coming for them. It just that feeling of being
and then
in
you sit
control
down and you play the game, huh?
Disturbing.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yes.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yes.
Fuck off my stage, Boyle.
But yeah, I'm really loving it. I'm finding it really Moorish in the way you kind of expand through all the different areas and just the atmosphere of it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. It's not super long, so I just kind of knocked it out in an afternoon, which was a nice way to do it. It's like the perfect Game Pass game because, like you said, it's got its idea, and oh my god. I nearly choked on my own words for no reason then. Just really takes me back to think about Sunday afternoon. Got all choked up. But yeah, it has its idea and it does the things that it can do with that idea and then it gets out of your way, which is the right way for this game to be designed. I think the couple of things that bothered me about... Actually, I'll say the positives first. It looks fucking really good. It's great pixel art that is like detailed, very well animated pixel art. And like you said, the feeling of being this big monster blob, you're kind of this the Thing, I guess. You're like a lots of gore type of monster, big ball of mouths, and you can kind of add
reminds
to your
me
mass.
Of the end of Akira.
Yes.
Sure,
yeah,
maybe.
That's what
I've
I thought
seen that.
As well when I saw
the big
the
blob at the end of Akira. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the comic of Watchmen, I guess. That thing as well.
Oh, sure.
Lots of tentacles and shit.
Mm.
And
yeah. Reminds me of the only kind of porn that I watch.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that. And so if you eat some people, then you might get a little bit more mass. And then later on you break into these sort of vats and you can build up the size of you. And you become like, by the end of it, you're this fucking massive train of monster parts that to the point where it makes controlling it difficult because you're not really sure which point of it the game thinks that you're pushing in the direction of to move. So like with some of the little corridors, you kind of don't end up going down them properly sometimes, but it's only a small thing. The bigger thing is that it is a little difficult to control the tentacles and feel like you're getting them to go where you want them to go. You kind of point the right stick in a direction and then press a button and it'll grab someone with the tentacles, or it'll rip off a vent and things like that. Or it'll flip a switch. And often I found that flipping the switch with those things was really fucking annoying because it wouldn't quite do it right. I wouldn't think that I was holding on to those. I don't know if I'm an idiot or if the game is an idiot, but someone here is an idiot. Did you find that?
No, I agree with that. I'm finding the tentacles a little unwieldy, but I mean, it's probably giving them too much credit to say that that's deliberate, but for me, it's adding to the feeling of like, you're this out of control, amorphous, you know what I mean? It has consciousness, but it's like,
sure,
it's, you know, it's a little unwieldy, and it's kind of adding to the feel of it for me, even though there's not really too many moments where you have to be super precise with it.
Yeah, in the combat, if you think that you should have grabbed someone and then you don't and they end up shooting you to death, that's pretty annoying.
Yeah.
But in the combat, I do agree that it feels like you're this wild ball of, you know, vicious tentacles and mouths and shit. When you're just trying to flip a switch, I don't think it adds to the feeling of being a monster, of like having this monster kind of reach out to grab a fucking door handle and go like, oh, whoops, missed. I'm silly old me today. Yeah. Oh, yeah, missed again. So that minor annoyance though. Like for the most part, I did find it really engaging and fun. And like I said, it does, you know, it gets through the ideas that it has and then gets out of the way. Other than it being this sort of very semi-Metroidvania type of thing where you're getting these new abilities and then going back to other places to get through a thing that you might not have been able to get through before. And the way that the world is designed makes it really fucking easy to get lost. There's no map. Everything looks pretty similar. And there's a couple of times when it'll be like, okay, clearly now you have to go back to some other place. And it takes way too long to fucking fumble your way around the place and actually get to where you need to be. That I found annoying a couple of times in there as well. But other than that, it's a perfect sort of Game Pass feeling like you're renting it type of game where you go like, oh yeah, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd recommend it. It's really original. It feels great to play, like just moving around as the blob, especially at the start. This like, because kind of have these big tentacles and you've got completely free movement. You don't need to jump. You can more or less defy gravity. You can like,
all the tentacles are kind of whipping onto the ceiling and lifting you up, right. And
yeah,
it does look cool.
And so all it feels really fluid and fun. Just like moving around and whipping around feels really fun.
All the screams of fear of all of the like feeling like you're this terrifying monster, that it does really work.
Mm.
They really hate to see you. They are absolutely floored every single time. And so that is pretty fun.
That's Carrion. Carrion.
Carrion.
Carrion?
Yeah,
Carrion. Carrie Ann Kennelly.
Okay.
Carrion. Carrion Kennelly. More similar to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, playing it on the Xbox, whipping out the old Game Pass there. Mm. I guess that leads us into the big Game Pass ad that they put out, basically.
yeah. I think I don't know if you guys feel maybe a little, not silly, but like, it seems obvious in retrospect now that a lot of people have pointed out that showcase was an ad for Game Pass. It wasn't an ad for the Xbox Series X, nor do Microsoft particularly care how many consoles they sell as long as people go in on Game Pass. Because we stayed up extremely late and we all watched the hashtag Xbox Games Showcase for the Microsoft Series X. Mm.
I think the fact that they said in advance that this wouldn't show the console or the price or the date or anything does kind of make more sense that they didn't focus much on the Series X thing, even though they were like, you know, they mentioned it obviously and all of them had the little logo at the end.
Mm.
But yeah, it was weird to see how little it sold that stuff, especially when the game they really showed am I crazy here that it was the only one they showed gameplay of? No, Psychonauts 2. But the main focus of a game with gameplay was Halo Infinite at the start.
Yep.
And yeah, yep. It isn't a next-gen game at all.
And in a very dull way where it was just watching someone just play a couple of minutes straight of it. Not cut together highlights, just a real time, here's someone playing the first, like, what, three minutes or so? Like the beginning of the game,
I think it's a few hours into the game. It's definitely, they did some real simple shit of just like, yep, you're getting in a Warthog, you're driving around, oh, it's open world now, you're shooting some Halo guys, this is Halo. And it wasn't particularly engaging. It looked like Halo, so that's cool. And it was, you know, they showed those little fucking objective markers on a map, so they showed it was open world. But yeah, just visually, it looked okay. It looked fine, but not like, especially coming from that PS5 one where you're like, wow, Ratchet looks good now. Look at all his fucking cute little fur. Man, I'd fuck that little rabbit. It isn't.
Yeah, I'm keen to go in on a Halo. Like I was hoping that, you know, we'd get our first look at this, and it you know, I'm excited to play one for the first time. But this, and I'm sure it's different if you're a, you know, longtime fan of the series, but this didn't grab me at all. This just looked very, it looked dull. It just looked very bland.
Yeah, it's, I don't think different. it looked terrible. Well, that's the thing, Nox. I think I've only really played the first Halo. And if you had told me that what we watched was an HD remaster of the first Halo game, I would have believed you. And it doesn't look bad, and I don't, you know, believe that the first Halo game was bad, but it doesn't look like something that's going to sell a console. And maybe, and you know, maybe that is dumb, but it also doesn't look like the greatest new game to be an exclusive for an existing console either. Like, if... like, I liked the Crash Bandicoot remasters, but they didn't blow my mind. And if this was, like, literally a Halo remaster, I'd be like, cool, that has nice textures, but it didn't blow me away.
Like, visually, maybe, but, like, they are doing more with the gameplay, at least, than that would suggest. Like, you've got a little grappling hook now that maybe they can do some cool stuff with because they've made it this open world now, which is a big change. Like, there's not been a Halo game that's that before. But the actual sort of second-to-second combat in it was the same Halo stuff of, like, you do a shotgun real quick and then you punch a guy and then you throw a grenade and you loop that. It was the same.
Mm.
And then...
I guess the problem, too, is, like, going, it's open world now. Like, is that enough? Like, we've just spent a bit of this week and a lot of last week talking about Ghost of Tsushima and how the idea of just an open world setting is a bit played out at this point, potentially.
Yeah. Like if you're,
you know, I haven't played any of the other ones, but it doesn't really get me excited in any way.
If the only change is that you're doing more of that combat, but in less specifically designed ways, you know, if it is watered down because it is, oh, well, I've got six encounters that are the same thing, but they're on other sides of the map. Then that would be a little disappointing. But there's no way to know any of that stuff yet, because weirdly, for it being the only game they showed a fair bit of gameplay of, it still wasn't enough to really make you see any of those aspects of it and whether or not they would. I think maybe the reaction to the visuals being underwhelming is a little over the top because it is an Xbox One game and it was built as one, and so it runs on a console that was already a bit shitty when it came out in like 2013. So I'm not too surprised by that, I guess. But then, like, that one brute guy talking at the end of it, saying some bullshit like bad Halo dialogue from the last two games, it doesn't seem like they're gonna fix the biggest problems I had with the last two, which was the story. So I don't know. It looks like it'll be okay.
There's some texture popping in that gameplay segment. There's a bit where you go up an elevator and then the clouds pop in. Like, you see them just, like, pop in the distance, which is an odd thing to include in your carefully crafted gameplay presentation.
Sure. Yeah. There's that stuff on all of the current gen open world type games, though, you know? So, I don't hold that against them, because I think the issue with it is more that they're positioning it as a launch game for the Series X rather than what it is, which is a game that is for the current Xbox One.
Mm.
You know, it isn't surprising to see any of that stuff when you stop thinking about it as a next-gen game, you know, because it isn't. And maybe they're missing an opportunity to do the thing where they put a bit more time into it to pump it up and have a difference between how it looks on a Series X versus an original Xbox One in ways other than just a resolution increase or whatever. But it is what it is. And I think it'll be fine. But the idea that 343 would suddenly be able to make this amazing Halo game when they've made two middling ones,
right,
has been squashed for me.
Yeah, right. We also saw a reveal trailer for State of Decay 3.
Which, again, wasn't a... this and almost all of them from this point on fucking suck because they're very little more than just announcement things. Like, they said about State of Decay 3 after the fact that they are in pre-production or some shit. Like, they are barely any way into making this thing. And it's kind of the case for half of the games that they showed after this. So,
yeah,
I think that was the thing that took the wind out of my sails more than anything with this presentation, is that they were like realizing, oh, they don't have any games still yet. They might in like a year and a half.
Yeah, I think
or two
Rare's
years.
New thing. I think Rare's new thing looks nice. I like the. I think it could be cool. I feel more optimistic about that than
Ever
I have about
wild.
Any of their output in the last. Yeah, in the last little while, but again, it's like. What is it?
There
it looks pretty. It's got a cool design and everything, but I couldn't tell you what type of game it is.
Or when it might be coming out. Same with there's a new Forza where it's like, I know what that'll be. It's cars.
Mm-hmm.
They spent a lot of time talking about, oh, we'll put the most recent Ori game out on Series X and it'll run at 120 frames per second. And it's like, oh, cool. My TV doesn't, so good for fucking you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some DLC for The Outer Worlds, which is cool. I like that game.
Yeah, and that's in like a couple of months. I think that's a September release for that stuff, which is awesome.
Yeah. Then Obsidian showed two new things. A game called Grounded, which is out today as we're recording this, or yesterday.
Yeah.
Like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, but a survival game, kind of. Early access thing currently, maybe we'll have played some of that by next week. And then an RPG called Avowed that, again, it was just like a pre-rendered trailer for. That is, it's them making a medieval Skyrim-style RPG.
Yeah, which I think, like, I think initially we were a little like, okay, like we see what that is and that's not particularly interesting. But, I mean, they did a good Fallout game with The Outer Worlds and... I mean, I already like Skyrim, so if they make a great version of that with that personality and strong writing that they tend to put in their games, Avowed is an exciting game for me. I think it's grown in my estimation since the 2:30 a.m. viewing of the trailer initially.
Sure, yeah. I think same as again with like State of Decay or Everwild, it's impossible for it to occupy any part of my brain until I actually can see it for real. You know what I mean? Just them going like, hey, this is what we're doing in the future is a medieval RPG thing. Cool. How many games get canceled before they come out? It's not enough. I don't know. An announcement of, hey, we've come up with
Nox,
a bad name for a game.
Yeah. Well, Nox, if you don't like the wishy-washy stuff and you want more kind of specific idea of what you're going to be actually doing in the game, well, then have I got news for you. Hellblade 2 is set in Iceland.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Awesome. That was my favorite moment of the whole presentation, cutting to the guy from that studio that's making that game, and that was his big reveal for that presentation.
Yeah.
Where the game is set.
You know that game Hellblade that you found kind of boring? Well, now we've set it in one of the world's most sparse landscapes. That'll fix it. Yeah, Hellblade 2, we already kind of... I feel like we get a picture of what that is, right? They showed... Did they show gameplay of that, or was it more pre-rendered stuff, or was it even anything? No, I can't remember them showing anything.
Pre-rendered.
Yeah. I think we saw more of it
in the pictures of Iceland.
The initial Xbox Series X launch event, because they really led with Hellblade 2. In that.
That was a face looking angry though, right? That was all that was.
I think it was all pre-rendered. Yeah.
We skipped over Tell Me Why as well, which is a new Dontnod game,
which is out like in a month. Mm.
Yeah, the first chapter is. It'll be another episodic one.
Mm.
A weirdly long trailer showing that Jack Black's in Psychonauts 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, who gives a fuck?
It was odd. I think, I don't know if we talked about it at the time, but it's actually, I think we did mention that he was in Brutal Legend, and that is sort of like an interesting game that people remember quite fondly. And it feels like a weird choice to like feature him and then be like, but Psychonauts 2, not a sequel to that game. But I guess a lot of people do love Psychonauts.
And they love Jack Black. So, you know, whatever. We already knew about Psychonauts 2, and that's been a developer for quite a while. And I think it might have just been Jack Black singing that song that was to do with this. But, yep, they're still making that. They talked about Game Pass a bunch during all of this and said some stuff about, like, Destiny 2 and all its expansions will be free on there. Talked about their Project X Cloud thing for a little bit, which they need a better name for. That's their mobile phone streaming thing. But just call it Xbox Mobile or something, right? Project X Cloud is...
That's too close to DirectX 10. You know, it does... And I know that's what is inspired the name Xbox, but it's too... Mm. It sounds like a software update rather than it being the Stadia competitor, like the actual... integrated with a good console streaming game service that it probably is going to be.
Yeah. Stalker 2, like a brief announced trailer thing with no actual footage. Same with something called Warhammer 40,000 Darktide, which is by the people who made Vermintide.
Yeah, this was like a FPS, a squad-based FPS 40K game, which I don't think has ever existed and... could be fun. That is a big player base of people who like Warhammer and buy whatever video games have the Warhammer name at the start. I wanted to say as well, Stalker 2 looks amazing. Like it's a great aesthetic. I think I played some of the first one, but it was a good trailer. That is a game that I'm excited for. It's not exclusive to this console, which is sort of the problem with every single game that's announced as well. But,
and also kind of the
right. Yeah.
I mean, part of what they're trying to make their benefit as well, right, is that all of these will be on PC too. You can play them all on Game Pass. They did mention that. They said everything will be on Game Pass. Problem with Stalker 2 is that it was just a CGI thing again, and they've also said, we are so early on in making this.
Sure, yeah.
It doesn't exist effectively, and I don't know, like, there's been enough things lately, and especially with big budget, difficult to make things like Stalker, made by, I think, smaller teams. Who knows if that will even ever actually happen, you know? So I think it's difficult to feel like you shouldn't just ignore this stuff for a long time. You know what I mean?
Well, also, I think an issue that is affecting every video games developer at the moment is COVID is slowing down production. Like,
what's COVID? What did you mention?
Have you checked the news in the past 6 months, Knox?
It's all lies, man. I don't look at the news anymore. Okay. What are you talking about?
Okay. Is it Tetsuya Nomura, the Final Fantasy guy?
Sure, he's one of them. For what?
He did an interview recently where they sort of were like, Final Fantasy Part 2 is going ahead, or Final Fantasy 7 Part 2. It is, however, going at a slightly slower pace because of COVID. And, I mean, man, you got to expect that games that are in pre-production that haven't actually got into the cycle of, like, here are the developers, they're doing the coding, they're in that workflow, it'll push the actual production of these games back even further.
We are years and years away from seeing Stalker 2, from seeing Avowed, probably from seeing Psychonauts 2, even though that's been in development for a while. I'd bet Everwild 2, State of Decay 3, definitely. Like, a lot of the stuff they show, whether or not it looks cool, I'm not sort of even forming an opinion on that yet, because it doesn't exist as far as I'm concerned.
Sure.
You know what I mean? An announcement of, hey, this is what we're trying to do at some point. Like, Same as Starfield and Elder Scrolls 6 and all that stuff where it's like, well, shut up. That's ages away. What are you talking about?
I mean, I get that they said before this that, yeah, they're not going to be saying anything about console release date or price or anything, and that's fair enough. But at the same time, you do have a new console coming out in a couple of months.
Yeah.
So, like, you've got to be, like, why is there any reason for anyone to buy one of these at the moment? There's just not.
No. Tetris Effect is getting a version on every console as well. It'll be a free update to the PS4 too. And it's coming out on Xbox. Something called The Gunk. Which I honestly didn't pay much attention to because I was so disgusted by the name. Some more on the Medium. I think it's only in America that that new release of Phantasy Star Online 2 is already out, and now they're doing like a new version of that to go alongside it too, which they showed. Genesis Phantasy Star Online 2. I don't quite get what that is, to be honest. But it's like it's almost like a remake of Phantasy Star Online 2, but they're both going to be out and still happening at the same time as each other, is my understanding of it.
It's the best. That's better than I could have.
Who knows? Google.com. Then they showed Crossfire X, which is that single player campaign on that Remedy is making of like an old multiplayer game that is very popular in like China and I think Korea.
The main takeout from this for me was good for Remedy getting a paycheck, because it's a great developer and I want to see more from them. Get back onto Control 2 or whatever you might be making down the track. This is a weird one as well. It's sort of interesting in a purely academic way, because it's like they've made this single-player campaign for a free-to-play multiplayer game that's already hugely popular, but the single player is not free. So
it's not part of Game Pass.
No. Yeah. It's like when you hear like some director you really like getting attached to a big Marvel movie. You're like, all right, man, you go get yours. And then we'll see you later down the track when you've had a bit more time to think about Control. What's her name? Jesse Faden.
But that is like... But that is such a weird thing to have in there, because for making such a big point at the start of it, like every game that we're showing you is coming to Game Pass. And then show off this one thing and it's not. And it's like, it's a bit of a cheat to go, oh, but the other, like the multiplayer version is. It's like, no, but you're showing us a trailer for the single player. Like that's... That should be part of it. Like, I don't know. It seems weird to have made that big point and then... go back on it.
And then they had their one more thing at the end, which was that thing that's been rumored for a while, that they're doing a new Fable game, or like kind of a reboot, it looks like.
Yeah.
And again, nothing shown of that beyond just a rendered trailer that was nothing to do with, you know, the game. It was just like, I saw someone make that trailer. So like it's a fantasy voice saying about the world is a strange and magical place, and it's a little Tinkerbell fairy flying around, and then she gets eaten by a toad. And someone made that with the Shrek music when the toad eats the thing. Somebody and it is, it made me realize, like, oh yeah, Fable's whole aesthetic is just Shrek.
Yeah.
It's just what if,
yeah,
what if fairy tales were a little bit naughty?
Yeah. But Fable doesn't have the voice acting talents of Mike Myers and Eddie Murphy, so. It is a little better,
you're right. So I don't know.
The interesting thing about this, maybe compared to the PS5 one, I don't know if we're a little biased. Well, not biased, but I think we're maybe more interested in PS5 just because, I don't know, we like their exclusives more, and there's a little more faith maybe in Sony as a company in the way that they've done their past two generations of consoles. That they've both been pretty good, but there was not a lot in this showcase that you would even categorize as like an announcement. Like if an announcement is something that is surprising and is designed to make you more interested in the thing they're announcing, to get, you know, to generate interest and discussion. I don't know that there's anything in this entire showcase that qualifies.
Well, the things they did announce, some of them are interesting, but they're so far away that it completely waters down any impact that they have, to me at least. I would love all these games to be great and stuff, because we're getting them for free, essentially. I have Game Pass. I'm going to keep it anyway. So I'm more interested in this stuff, I think, than the PS5 things in some ways. But
this did feel like basically, an ad for Game Pass, where they went, we're going to do a thing where we're going to show off a lot of different things. And the big selling point is that you'll be able to play all of these on Game Pass. Mm. And it feels to me like they haven't really cared so much about exactly what they're showing off, other than to just talk about the quantity aspect. And it is cool. I still Game Pass is a great service. I think it's the future of how we're going to consume games. I would love to see all the other companies get on board with it. But at the end of the day, what would be cooler to me than watching a whole bunch of stuff that I'm going to get for free as part of my Game Pass subscription would be to see two or three things that I would gladly pay $70 for.
And
this, preach. This didn't have anything like that. I was like, yeah, cool, I'll be able to play all of them. Great. Yeah. I'll play them out of interest, but I'd love to see something knock my socks off and go, fuck yeah, I'm in day one on that, which the PlayStation 5 event did have. It had a few of those for me.
Well, this and is they the were issue with it being as well.
a Netflix knockoff is that, it's cool to be able to pay $9.99 a month to have access to 250 movies and, 300 TV shows, but if none of them anything more than at best a B+, then after paying for it for 3 years, eventually you go, fuck it, I'm just going to stop paying for Netflix and rent a movie from iTunes.
Well, I don't think there's any way to judge whether or not any of these will be a B+ or an A+ or whatever the fuck they'll be, because, I mean, Halo Infinite looked a little underwhelming, but it looked good still to me. But almost everything else that looked interesting is a concept image at this point, effectively. So it isn't a great ad for Game Pass, because there's no quantity there, really, because all of this shit is stretched over at least the next couple of years. So even if you do show 20-whatever games, if only one of them is going to be coming out every couple of months, that's not quantity. That's it's so stretched out and spread thin that even if, Stalker 2 and probably Avowed, and maybe that Crossfire single player thing, but that's not even on it. And probably Fable will be interesting or good.
Mm.
They're so far away and so conceptual. Maybe the medium would be good. But yeah, I don't know. I think the biggest thing for me is that I came away not really knowing what any of this stuff was. So not being able to tell whether or not I was interested in it, because it was mentioned rather than shown. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess it's more... it's an interesting... it's been very interesting to track the sort of like marketing approaches of Sony and Microsoft, because both of them in different ways seem to be missing the mark. Because like you guys said before, like these consoles are coming out really soon and we don't know exactly when and we don't know exactly how much they'll be, and everything else that's been released has been kind of vague.
Yeah.
And not to make it like an Xbox versus Sony type of thing, because I don't think it needs to be. Because having a PC is still the most, probably the best way to go with all of these as well. I don't think there were any Sony exclusives that made me jump out of my pants. But there's not heaps on the horizon even at all from either of these conferences that gets me excited. I couldn't tell you a 2021 game other than a remake of Demon's Souls, which is from 2009, that I'm like stoked about, you know? So I think it's just the start of the generation type thing. This happened at the beginning of the Xbox One and PS4 generation, where I was like, oh no, games are bad now. Then in 2015, they started being good again because people had had time to make them. So
yeah, yeah.
It's going to be 2022, I guess. when games will start being cool again. That's a little too phrased similarly, and I can tell that your faces did a thing. I'm not doing a... Just using the word again doesn't imply trying to create a slogan. I'm just saying that, you know, this was pretty empty.
Yeah.
And, I've got all my games on a shelf, and yep. I think that right now I'm able to see... the shelf is pretty empty. I don't exactly have a lot of games up there. I don't have like a wall of games up there. And I'm just saying, I hope that they build that wall. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Is that ultimately?
Sure.
That's. I just think that Sony and Microsoft don't like me. That's a thing you said today.
Well, let's leave it there for this week, unless you guys have any.
Hey, actually, I do have one. I've got one more thought. You know, Senua from Hellblade.
Mm.
Lock her up, I reckon.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay,
there we go.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do us for another week of Filthy Casuals. Thank you very much for joining us. You can support the show on Patreon if you would like to do so. You get a bonus episode every week. We've also got premium episodes over on our Bandcamp. We've got Let's Plays on YouTube. We've got our Twitch channel where we're trying to do more stuff. Got a whole bunch of things. Filthycasuals.com.au for where you can find all those links. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Hey, maybe we'll have a good episode out in 2022. That's exciting, right? Is everyone excited? Pretty cool announcement that I just made, huh?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.